right back to the 60s there, and you might know some of their other tracks, probably more memorable, but that's Mungo Jerry and Lady Rose. So I'm very pleased to welcome now into the studio Graham Ellis, who's going to talk to us about train services, really, particularly around Melksham. And Graham represents a number of groups, but maybe it'd be best, Graham, if you explain it all to us, exactly your role in these various groups and what you want to talk about.
Right, well, yes, I mean, I'm Graham Ellis. We've lived in Melksham for all best part of 25, coming up for 30 years now. And I am the idiot, and please don't quote that back at me, who asked the train company for a few more trains at Melksham. And eventually, with a lot of work and a lot of support, we ended up getting a whole lot of those things through. But these days, working very much not as a protester, but as a partner working with the train companies, looking to do stuff forward. I mean, in this area, I'm the chair of the Melksham Transport User Group, which is purely Melksham, looking slightly wider on the committee of the West Wilts Rail User Group, which looks at, well, five urban areas up and down the line, plus Melksham on the side branch, and also I'm on the board of Travel Watch South West, which coordinates all the user groups across the South West, so that what is going on at Mortchard Road, if it's relevant to Dilton Marsh, hey, we know about it and we can share experiences and work together on those things. There's a lot of background going on for you there. I've been doing it for 20 years. Over those 20 years, we've seen many improvements, but some slipbacks. Here we are, actually broadcasting from Bradford-on-Avon, where we're up from one train an hour to three trains an hour into Bristol and down to the south over that period. And hey, that is very good going. But we've lost through trains from Brighton, from London, from Great Malvern, from West Wales and from Manchester. So the whole thing has become very much more compressed in what we've got and what we've got there. Now, some of those things as a community we've fought, the West Wilts Rail User Group, the loss of all through trains to Bradford-on-Avon and indeed to Trowbridge from London was something that was dearly fought. We still have one train from Bradford-on-Avon to London a day at 5:30 in the morning, and I'm sure all our listeners are up at Bradford-on-Avon station and using it. Not. So there's sort of things like that there. There's been a financial squeeze on various things, but typically people get to be where they want on the next trains, where something goes a little bit wrong, where things are unreliable. We've got old trains, we've got a lot of trains on a cut down network because it wasn't expected to rebounce back after it did, after the beaching cuts and all the rest of it. We got twice the traffic we used to have. And if a train's cancelled or late at Bradford-on-Avon, it doesn't matter. There's another one along in 20 minutes. At Melksham and at Dilton Marsh, it does, where you have a two-hour gap, and that frankly damages the whole day, puts off people off using the service at all. West Wilts Rail User Group, my apologies, West Wilts Rail User Group has an online on Facebook, and because we're broadcasting this via the internet, then I'm sure you can all find us on the various Facebook and other pages there, and also meeting four times a year with the committee meeting every couple of months. But at the present time, we're having a little bit of a wrangle with Great Western, who dropped one of the peak trains at Dilton Marsh, leaving a two-hour gap in December without giving us notice. And that's the sort of thing where we still at times look and choose our battles very carefully, but that is a battle very much to be chosen.
There's two, thank you very much for that, Graham. There's two particular things. I was particularly reading an article in the Melksham Independent News just before Christmas. There's two particular areas I want to clarify in my own mind. The first is, who's actually responsible for providing or determining that train services are required in a certain area or from and to certain points? So is there a government department that looks at this? Is it the Wiltshire County Council's responsibility? Or is it really a question of, for want of a better word, pressure groups like some of your own that have to actually campaign, ramp up the interest, make the noise, and then the powers that be sort of submit or look into it and say, I mean, how is it actually modelled and who's actually responsible for saying, never, I know, Dilton Marsh needs train service?
Never provide a simple system where you can provide a complicated one. Right. The main specification of approximate levels is normally done by the Department for Transport, and that will be this many trains a day or things like that. The train companies themselves can then run and see how they do it to meeting things within that specification, and indeed are allowed to do a certain element of extra running if need be. There is a degree of consultation which is listening to the customers. It doesn't necessarily mean that the customers are actually taken any notice of, other than we have ticked a box, is how it feels at times. But clearly the rail people are very much the experts.
So it's not to put a train service in place, it's not down to Wiltshire Council. It is a national level decision in the first instance.
In the first instance, yes, but then local councils or local transport authorities can then decide to buy in extra services. And actually, one of the reasons that Bradford-on-Avon does so well is that the West of England Combined Authority has bought in extra trains from Bristol out to Bath, where it can't turn them round, so they run on as far as Westbury. And that's why the train service here has gone up from 2 to 3 every hour for Bradford-on-Avon and Trowbridge. Now, Wiltshire Council always professes it's shorter money and doesn't have the appropriate grants for these things, and to some extent there's an element of that being true, but they are the local transport authority. They could buy more things in, and indeed the improvements we got at Melksham, which was up from 2 to 9 trains each way a day for the first 3 years, was sponsored very much more by Wiltshire Council, who are very much on board with that there. So sorry there, no easy answer.
So if it's one of the challenges for you and for everyone else, for that matter, if you, to the places you've mentioned a couple of times, Melksham and Dilton Marsh, is one of the problems that, you know, just this is my observation, totally uninformed observation, but if you look at Trowbridge and Bradford-on-Avon, there's lots of people using that service to commute daily, so you can understand the need for it. Melksham and Dilton Marsh, I'm not sure. Does someone actually know how many people use it for commuting rather than just sort of casual use? But also, is it this is probably a question that can't be answered, is it a chicken and egg situation? Is it, well, if we had a reliable, frequent service, then more people would use it to commute?
Yes, it is. I mean, living in Melksham, I'll take that as the first example. Prior to going up from 2 trains each way a day to 9, we had 3,000 passenger journeys per annum.
Right.
We peaked just prior to COVID at 75,000 passenger journeys per annum. And the figure we would expect if we had an hourly service would be 450,000 journeys per annum, based on the population of the town. Melksham is actually much bigger than Bradford-on-Avon, it's much bigger than Westbury, it's about the same size as Warminster. However, if you miss the train at 3:30 down to Westbury, the next one is 6 o'clock, and that puts people right off, and it takes a number of years for these things to come right. Looking ahead, the next big move in Wiltshire will be to improve the track between Trowbridge and Chippenham so that they can have more than one train every hour running up and down there, because with a lot of freight going up and down there, we are desperately short of capacity. And we're pretty sure that you increase the number of trains through Melksham from the 9 to about 16 or 17, and those passenger numbers will be up to 250,000 a year.
Very, very interesting. We want to talk some more, but you've chosen, let's have a little break for some music. You've chosen a very interesting bit of music, which I'll let you introduce yourself.
Right, thank you. And I have a couple of pieces of pronunciation to do here. This is the Canon in D, in a piece scored originally for 3 violins and bass by German composer Johann Pachelbel. Now, that was the easy bit. The difficult bit is that YouTuber Pavel Jirasek has reworked it onto train horns, and if I hold this in the background, then it brings a big smile and reminds me of when I was in Prague, which is where the recording and the accompanying video is, and showing horns both locally and all around Europe as well. They even got Thomas the Tank Engine in there.
wonderful piece of music, and I'm quite pleased with that, because all morning I've been playing quite eclectic stuff, so that fits right in. So I'm speaking to Graham Ellis about passenger trains and services in West Wiltshire. And Graham, just before Christmas I read an article in the Melksham Independent News, as I mentioned before, and one of the things you seem to be talking about regarding services from Melksham was just not the number of trains per day, but the incredible unreliability. And you talk about a couple of things here, which was crew rostrum, which I think understand, and route knowledge limitations. I wonder how that kicks into things.
Well, the interesting thing is that if you drive a bus and someone says, hey, can you go out and do an X34272, and you don't know the roads, you can do so, you can follow it. But with the train, where you can't stop within the distance you can see, you have to know what's around the corner, you have to know the route ahead. So all the drivers have to go out and know what the route is, what all the signals are, and how to drive a particular line, and to be refreshed on it at least once every 6 months. Now, the line through Melksham is used for diversions when things go wrong of the West Country Expresses up to London. They all go through that narrow single line. So all the drivers from Exeter need to know how to drive through Melksham. The problem is that one or two of the particular trains, and the an evening commuter train with its 10% cancellation rate is one of them, the crews come off the West of England Express, go up that line, out and back, just to refresh their route knowledge from time to time, and that's how it's rostered. If, however, you end up with a driver who doesn't actually know how to drive the local train, you have a problem.
Right. So the reliability as well as the number is a real problem. I mean, the figures that were quoted in that article were quite extraordinary.
They are quite extraordinary. I mean, sometimes these things happen, but you want a cancellation rate ideally of 2% or less, not the 11% that we have and reported there. If you know well ahead, it's fine, if you know, but if you wake up in the morning and find your train's not working, or get to work and can't get home, it puts you off. And for a station like Bradford-on-Avon or Trowbridge or Westbury, with a train from Bristol every 20 minutes, big deal, the next one's coming along. For a train to Melksham, where the next one is 2 hours later, that is a much more serious issue. And whilst the rail company is obliged to provide taxis or buses or things like that there, you have to know, and there are not always taxis sitting there available, especially at school times. So it becomes a real problem where it's partly the numbers of cancellations, but also, hey, what happens, what the fallback is. With a better fallback, it would be less of a problem.
Okay, so sorry to harp on about the sort of more negative aspects. I know you are, as you mentioned right at the start, you are making quite a lot of headway. So what do you see as the next wins in the coming months and year?
Well, months and year are very short term in terms of railway. However, the top priority, and this is Wiltshire Council as the local transport authority, plus the West of England Combined Partnerships and various others, have as one of their top priorities extra tracks between Chippenham and Westbury, and an extra platform at Westbury. And those things between them would enable us up to go up to an hourly service, and would enable, when something goes wrong, for two trains to actually pass each other on the single line, so that a lot of these things can and will end up being sorted, and we see that happening. Locally, goodness me, there is so much, because we're moving from a franchised operation where the profits or losses supposedly help the shareholders of the first group, to a nationalised system. Now, not much profit goes to the first group, but that's first group employees at the moment, and there is no motivation this year to actually invest long term, because the company is losing the franchise. Why do you want to invest in something that's going to bring you a lot more business next year? And because so many of the employees are going to be transferred across to become civil servants, effectively working for the rail industry there, they are looking to make sure they're in the best graces of the people they're going to be working for in the future, where the comment is reliability measured from Horse Ferry Road in London on a statistical basis. Mm-hmm. And that's the big thing that is looked at, and financial limits. And this is where we have that issue at Dilton Marsh, where you can make the service far more reliable if you take it out of passenger service and run it as an empty train. Oh, it doesn't run very well. Let's run it as an empty train. That way there, the statistics look far better, don't they? Hey, I've done a good job. And that's why you've now got a two-hour gap at Dilton Marsh.
So, that's very interesting. So the extra line between Westbury and the extra track between Westbury and Chippenham, when's that likely to be complete then?
I would anticipate we'll have probably just a passing loop on a complete extra track, possibly by the end of the decade.
Oh, good gracious. And just off the top of it, you might not know this, but roughly, just of interest to me and the listeners, what sort of order of magnitude of costs are you talking for something like that?
Oh, 50 or 60 million pounds.
That's incredible.
I mean, what that does also, though, that gives a lot more freight for that line, so that it means that the Southampton to the Midlands and North freight traffic, which frankly at times gets in the way. Now, we don't mind it getting in the way, in a way, because actually the whole line even survived the beaching area at all because of that freight traffic going through, because it was available for that there. But it can get in the way. It can run early, it can run late, it can break down on the line. And it's why the service isn't what we call clock face at the moment, which is the same time in every hour, every 2 hours, but you have to actually know the timetable.
Yeah, I've never thought of that, the interruption, as it were, by freight traffic. So, Melksham, what's the likelihood of A, improved service out of that station, and B, an improved timetable?
If you look forward a decade, I would say approaching the certain. Bear in mind that Wiltshire Council is required to build so many more houses. We've got traffic jams, we've got all the rest of it. We are jamming into Bath, we're jamming all over the place. And there's a scheme called the Bath and Wiltshire Metro, which is coming in, which is looking ahead and looking at those things. A lot of the problems are relatively short-term ones. You also in Melksham look at the ability to get from the station to where people live, because looking at a map, the station is at the back of the industrial estate on the top left side. Where the industrial estate runs out, it falls off onto the track, and a lot of the new housing is built to the right and below the town, looking at a map. So there's all sorts of stuff there. And we're talking with the Melksham Transport Group of opening a hub at the station, because people feel pretty left out and pretty isolated if they get off the train at the station thinking it's a big town and finding there's no taxis there, there's no buses there, and the map is hard to read and possibly behind a somewhat fogged display screen or something like that.
Yeah, the location really is unfortunate. So if I'm reading it right then, more trains through Melksham is sort of longer term, which is, I guess, why you're concentrating on the reliability and the improvement in the existing timetable.
People will use a timetable, the current systems, if they can use it. And that is a very good step there. We're also looking very much at information systems. We went out for 8 days before Christmas to various bus stops, to the railway station, actually to Leake's Superstore and various other places there, and handing out a timetable booklet, putting together the timetables of six different operators, which we have of public transport in Melksham. We've moved from people not knowing they've got a station to perhaps half of them knowing it, a lot of people being fearful of using it. And if they can rely on the service, even if it is relatively infrequent, they will. If the information is there, and if there's help and people around to say, hey, we did this for the first time as well, come on, use it.
Yeah.
I mean, people can find us, Melksham Transport User Group, West Wilts Rail User Group, easily enough online, and we are, frankly, a largely bunch of retired old men who have nothing better to do than help and answer your questions, and we're delighted to do so.
Yeah, it's a very, very valuable public service, I think. I was going to ask you what was the best way for people to get in touch. So, final question then. So, if you could wave your magic wand and just one wish, what would it be for the next year as far as trains are concerned?
let's get the reliability right at the current service level, not by simply taking out the worst performing trains from the timetable.
Oh, that's brilliant. I wish you all the very best with it, Graham, and thank you very much for coming in. It's really interesting.
Thank you.